Hello and welcome to Nerd Stuff, a podcast on the C-Sport group. My name is Index. I'm with a scrawny boy.
Hey guys, so yeah, this is our pilot episode.
Yep, first time doing a podcast live. Like, the guy is actually next to me. We always do Discord podcasts, so this is kind of a new thing for me too. It's just kind of nice. I get to see your reactions full, like real time.
I mean, it's true. You get a feel of things better. It's really become a point of discussion.
Like. Yeah, it's like it's not like you're talking to the monitor or anything. So, yeah, we also have to. I didn't tell you this, but we have to play the algorithm too. We have to make a clickbaity title for this episode. So, whatever the clickbaity title is, it'll be on Spotify as well. It's the only place that you can watch the episode. For now, this pilot episode is exclusively going to be on Spotify. And we're going to be talking a lot about a lot of things that you did. So Ron wrote basically all of the topics here. So this is, he created the show for today.
So great intro, by the way. Great intro.
Fantastic intro.
So of course, seeing as this is a show from CE Sport, we're starting this off in a rundown on the events happening over the week.
Yep, next couple of days, like a few days from now as well, looking a little forward ahead. We've got the Six Invitational R6, Tom Clancy, R6 Siege.
Oh, yeah, they've been carrying me like greatly.
Have you been playing that? R6?
Yes. I played a little bit by myself.
Yeah.
I actually made a mistake and bought the starter.
Oh yeah, that's why I asked the guys.
Yeah, and they said that it's always a more bang for the buck value if you go for the deluxe, since you have operators. So I'm stuck with standard now and just have a managed save up for two operators.
So are you gonna buy it? Are you gonna buy the rest of the operators for R6?
I don't know. I'm not that
invested.
Emotionally invested.
Yet. So the Six Invitational 2020 for the Asia Pacific qualifiers are going to be happening in a. That's tomorrow, actually, by the time this podcast comes out.
Yeah, January 5.
Yes. So we've got Fnatic, Xavier, Esports, Cloud9, and Cyclops Athlete Gaming. First game is going to be Fnatic and C9, and Xavier and Cyclops. So these are just best of ones. I mean, single elimination tournament. From what I read, is this Cloud9 team was the team that went to I think last year for the Invitational. Yeah, I don't know how big that is, but yeah, that's what I found out.
And also, this actually, for those who are wondering, is happening at around 8 a.m. over at, I believe it's going to be on their Twitch. Gonna be on Rainbow Six Twitch.
Yep, great times ahead. I actually just bought R6 yesterday. I'm actually backing up R6 right now, so let me just put my Steam on invisible. So it's invisible now. But yeah, exciting times. Excited to dive into R6 actually, because it looks like a very fun game.
It's R6 is one of those. What's interesting about it? When it came out, it didn't really made a big splash, unlike Apex Legends.
Yeah.
But R6 grew.
Yeah.
Like over the years, over the time that it's been around.
Yeah.
It grew more popular. It wasn't a downward spiral unlike Apex, Fortnite. Yeah. Fortnite is starting to lose players.
Yeah.
As well, like, I mean, I guess it's better. The stability is better, so people are at least investing on it because of that.
It's actually, I think it looks like a good game too, like overview. If you think about Fortnite and what it is, some people are kind of turned off by it because, you know, like the building part of it is very new, very polarizing, but R6 is all strategy. It's all tactical and guns and killing people. So I think that's more attractive. It's kind of like CS. It's the newer version of CSGO.
Oh yeah, true. But for R6 and CSGO, yeah, they have those realistic feels, but I do appreciate Fortnite's cartoony feel.
Yeah.
Like, it tickles other people's fancy.
Yeah, there's the audience, right? There's an audience for everybody. It's a game for everybody. And we're grateful that Fortnite is there. But we're also grateful that R6 is here. All right, moving on. Dota 2, our game. We play Bukoval May Minor. It's a minor. It's happening January 9th to 12th. The teams that are going to be playing are Gambit, Team Spirit, Ninjas in Pajamas, Fighting Pandas as an Eternal Envy squad, Nigma, RNG, which is a Chinese squad, Geek Fam, and Furia, which is an SA squad.
Yeah, shout out to Cyclops.
Oh, yeah, right.
He casted the Southeast Asia qualifiers for this one.
Uh-huh. And very interestingly, there have been some moves here, I think. In between, since like the qualification of the teams, the big one is Ryoya being dropped by Geek Fam and then replacing him with Carl.
Yeah.
The legendary Carl from Philippines, the kid wonder.
Not a kid anymore.
Yeah, well, he was. He was the dandy, basically, in the Philippines. And now he's on Geek Fam playing Mind, replacing Ryoya. A little bit of drama there. Oh, anyway, yeah. Which of the teams kind of stand out for you? Is somebody's phone rank, probably mine.
I do like Geek Fam, but then again, they have the Nigma, which is, they're very hungry for some victory.
Yeah.
This is the newly formed team by Kuroki. They lost the major qualifiers.
Quite badly. Yeah.
So we'll see how this fills up for Nigma. But there are the stable ones that we've seen, like, every minor. There's Gambit.
Gambit's getting pretty good.
Yeah. And my NIP, RNG, and Fighting Pandas have been pretty stable.
Fighting Papagas. There was a team called Fighting Papagas.
Yeah, there was. I think it's a CIS team.
I forget. I think it's NA. That NIP, look at this, going back to NA. Peter Pandem can't escape the freedom.
The sound of freedom.
The sound of freedom. It's kind of cool, too. They've got three NA players.
Well, because Europe is really stacked. You have to agree that Dota in Europe is really stacked.
Yes. Enigma's there. Secret OG. Who else is in Europe?
You have...
Shit.
Let's see. It escapes me right now, but... Oh, Adfinem. And of course, the new teams, like, going up. There's a lot of shuffles happening on EU as well.
We're definitely missing some teams that are obviously there. But the big ones are Secret OG and Liquid. So you don't want to be part of that. That's going to be very hard to break into.
Oh, Liquid. Definitely. Liquid and Alliance.
There we go.
And Alliance. They've been pretty stable in the qualifiers.
Yeah. They're actually way better than their old squad, Team Liquid. They must be very happy. They've got Prison Arteezy. Did you see what Nico Baby looks like?
Yeah.
He's literally... Prison Arteezy. I have to give you the visual, of course.
We've seen him from Mineski before. He went to Southeast Asia for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that's about it for the tournaments. Just for the next week.
Hold on. Let's give a prediction. Who's gonna win? Who do you think is gonna win? Who's going to qualify for the least big major? Because that's what the minor is for.
I mean, yeah, and like R6 Invitational, we do have actual knowledge for Dota.
Yes, we can't just give out, you know, misinformed opinions. Dota 2, we actually have something.
So for this one, if Nigma can...
Whoa! Nigma. Okay.
I said Nigma.
Yes.
You can't believe the scares there. So yeah,
first episode already demonetized.
Nigma, they have the old Liquid squad, the TI squad, the TI2, which is second place, and four of them are TI winners.
Yes.
Then we is like a two-time second place TI.
Yeah, only person to do that, I think. Oh no, it's actually FY.
Yeah, so they have a really good chance. But I would like to cheer for Geek Fam, though it's a really high steep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easier to say who will be in the bottom row than who will be on the top row.
Definitely. Oh my god.
So for bottom row, I'd give it for Fighting Pandas and and Furia Esports.
Classic at A.
So yeah, then that's what I'm gonna
hey,
predict at least.
I got Gambit. I think they're very good.
Yeah, Gambit, that's why it's so hard to predict who will come out on top. It's easier to predict who will be at the bottom.
So just look a little bit of a look ahead. Yeah, these are the regular guys. For we're looking at the teams for these big major and who they're gonna go up against. And it's the regular guys. Like EG, Alliance, Secret, Liquid,
IG,
VG. Yeah, the guys. It's the boys. Alright, so close it out the esports side. We just got the trailer for TrueSight for their last TI, which released a few hours ago. So TrueSight is going to be on January 20, 2020 at 2 a.m. SEA time, right around that time.
So it's giving me goosebumps, like looking at it. I mean, if you watch the trailer, you see, you can actually feel how Kuroki was
helpless. He was so helpless.
Yeah, and how OG had that confidence still that they could win everything. And this against Kuroki, one of the masterminds of Dota.
And he can't do anything. He was like, obviously, we already know what's going to happen in a documentary. It's a clean sweep. OG just completely wiped the floor with Liquid. It looked like fatigue from Liquid, but that's why TrueSight is there, right? We get further insight on what happened during the final series and how TI felt. So yeah, we're gonna get our answers in a few weeks.
It's nothing new for Liquid. They've done a whole. I mean, they're known as the lower bracket kings.
EG also shares a title, but I guess
So it's. I mean, hearing that they've gotten fatigue from the lower bracket, I guess it's. It's on the table, but I feel like they're more mentally prepared. Anyway, we'll find out. Come TrueSight.
Excitement. Exciting times. Exciting times. All right. Comic book news.
It's kind of sort of like esports / comic book, the next one.
Oh, well, yeah. That's kind of true. Because Ninja, freaking streamer Ninja, is coming out with a graphic novel for himself. It's called Ninja, the Most Dangerous Game.
It's also out. Actually, it's already out.
Oh, sorry.
You can actually buy it already on as a ebook. Also, I think a trade paperback is available. I believe on Amazon. Check your local bookstores. You might have a copy already.
Yeah, I'll check. Since I'm going to a mall later. Anyway, so Ninja, as a Scrawn would describe it, please describe the premise.
Well, it's basically a story about him, Ninja. When he has like friends, the friends have like really, really, I don't know, very gamer names, but at the same time, there's something that I feel like, I mean, I guess it's Ninja's audience, so let me just say it's like 12-year-old.
Wow.
Names. The names are like Killer.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's basic, and I mean, to be fair, Ninja stated it time and time again that his demographic, the one he's catering for,
Younger
audience.
Yep.
He wants to be an inspiration to younger people. So so don't expect any deep twist or like major plot points or even curses on this graphic novel. There won't be any. I did skim through it. The basic premise is basically if you've... for the weebs out there, if you're familiar with Sword Art Online, I feel like if you watch anime even remotely, even if you've not watched Sword Art Online, you know what it's about.
I'm sorry. I watched Dot Hack.
I mean, that's the OG.
Yeah, that's the OG Sword Art Online.
That's the OG. So yeah, it's basically like Sword Art Online. They get transported forcefully onto a game, which is a battle royale game. It's Ninja, so it's got to be a battle royale game.
Of course.
And then they're basically forced to kill each other. Top one
survives.
So since Ninja is known, everyone's gunning for his head.
Oh, that sounds like it has an audience. Okay, I'm not saying I particularly like it, but I can see how it's appealing to some people. Do you like it?
It's nothing new.
Okay.
I mean, we already have Hunger Games.
So I mean, exactly. That's what I was thinking. This is just like Hunger Games, which is already kind of nerdy in itself. Hunger Games is kind of nerdy in itself.
Yeah, Hunger Games, the comic book.
Yeah, with the wider appeal.
But I like the art, though. Speaking of that, Felipe Magaña is a very, very good artist.
Felipe Magaña.
He's done some for Marvel and DC, I think, I believe.
We'll see.
I forgot. I forgot his solo lineup. I think it's either... He's done some for the big comic book companies, definitely.
Okay, we're looking at Felipe Magaña right now. Let's see what he's got. Geekart.net, shout outs, please sponsor us.
So yeah, that's it for that. As for the author, it's Justin Jordan.
Yep, author.
I mean, I'm not familiar with his work, but I mean, it again, the story itself is not very deep.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's not fun. I mean, it could still be fun, just that the story is not that deep.
I am still kind of curious though. I'm still curious. I want to read it, not because I'm into that. I'm curious.
You know? Yeah.
It's got me curious.
It's not every day you see a streamer decide to fund his own graphic novel.
Did he fund it or did somebody pay him? Like, yo, can we use your name?
Okay, that's a good question. Because he is a co-author of the book along with Justin Jordan. So probably he funded it.
Probably. Okay.
I mean, it's not under any big company. It's not under IDW. It's not under Image. It's not under Marvel or DC.
It's just them.
Not even Vertigo.
Yeah.
So, not even Dynamite. So, it's, it's definitely self-funded.
Okay. Well, hopefully we get to see this in our local bookstores here in the Philippines. But yeah, you know what else that I'm looking forward to, and even more, but probably not going to get any, is X-Men number 4.
X-Men number 4 is out, and if you haven't gotten one, then chances of you getting one are slim. So from what I'm hearing from people, it's very, very hard to get first print. You might have a chance at second print or third print. Yeah, reprints
is okay. Yeah.
But I doubt you'll get your hands on first print, especially variant covers.
So why the hell is this so big?
Basically, it's the first reveal of Professor X after he's disappeared for what, how many years? Huh. After he's been killed off.
Who killed him? Why was
Cyclops? Well, for those that I mean, it's safe to say now, it's been how many years since we've had X-Men versus Avengers?
Okay,
so
Cyclops killed Professor Xavier.
Professor X under the influence of the Phoenix Force.
Oh,
so basically, yeah, Xavier tried to stop Cyclops. Then a lot of stuff happened afterwards. After his death, his brain got stolen by someone. From skipping, the name skips myself. Then became Onslaught.
Okay.
He was grave robbed, Xavier, and a lot of stuff happened. His son had to step in as well.
Okay.
Then, yeah, so basically we're here now. And he's reincarnated as someone. Then this is the first time he actually removed his helmet. So he's been wearing this really, really big Cerebro-looking helmet. And, so he discusses on the table with some politicians that he's done, basically taking the moral high ground.
Oh, he's done being like, you know, we want to be
coexisting peacefully.
Yeah. Because that's what the main story of X-Men is, right? Magneto versus Professor X. And if mutants can coexist with humans in society, or as Magneto would see the other way around it, that mutants should be, you know, above, they should be respected by people. And Professor X ain't fine for people no more.
Well, he took the mutants to a place that you can only access through a Krakoan portal, and that place actually checks your genes if you have a mutant gene. You can't enter if you don't have one. So he's isolating the mutants now. Well, after so many stuff that has happened over the years, so it's understandable. But yeah, for this one, again, for those that can still grab a copy, it's X-Men number 4 by Lionel Yu and Jonathan Hickman. Hickman is back from X-Men. He's one of the renowned artists, authors for X-Men. Lionel Yu, a Southeast Asia comic book artist, a Filipino comic book artist.
Oh, cool.
He's done Indestructible Hulk, among many others. And also he had his inker before to the former Jerry Allen Gillen, which is one of the great comic books, and also known as comic era for the Philippines.
Mm. All right. So some representation for
Southeast Asia. Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be great. I think this is how they're going to be going about the storyline for Professor X. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, actually. I'm honestly just waiting for the paperback to grab one.
What do you mean paperback? So this is like hardbound? How thick is this?
That's singles. These are singles, X-Men number 4 and stuff. So when they normally compile up to 6.
Ah, okay. So you're going to get all 6.
They compile it and release a paperback.
Perfect.
And I think a hardbound is by 12s.
Oh, okay. Okay. This is kind of interesting. Really, really interesting. Because this feels like a big arc. Because he's never had this thought before, Professor X, right?
He's always been the goody-goody two-shoes.
Does this equate to an expensive comic book is? Because, like, as we know, expensive comic books go, like, because, like, there's a... introduction of a new character, a death of an old character. So is this kind of a thing that would constitute to expensive one?
It's not going to have any special tags or anything like, you know, or first appearance.
Yeah.
And other stuff. But the variants, depending on who the variant artists are, like let's say Lionel Yu does a 1:200 variant. So what that means is local comic book stores, they'd have to order 200 regular copies to get one copy of.
Oh, and that's the one.
Of that variant.
Ooh.
So and they get to sell it for high price too.
Yeah, or keep it.
Or keep it.
Dude, if you're the comic book store, you have to keep it.
Normally they'd keep one. I mean, you're not gonna order 200, just 200 anyway. Yeah. So there's definitely very limited stocks for those 1:200, 1:100. Normally, I think the rarest one I have is like 1:100.
Yeah.
So that's about it.
All right, great. So more comic book news, the comic book nerd news. Star Wars: Rise of Skywalker, which I still haven't seen. Thanks, MMFF. I hate y'all. I wish you'd done so I can watch Star Wars now. It's already close to making $1 billion.
I'm not even surprised that big franchises these days break the $1 billion mark. I feel like it's not even that big of a feat anymore.
Yeah, accomplishment.
Yeah.
It's kind of expected to hit $1 billion. I'm not really surprised, though. What, like, you know, the thing that kind of gets me is people are not satisfied with the movie. And it still earned $1 billion.
Yeah, a lot of people have expressed different opinions about it. Some have expressed dismay over the change of directors. Some have, because of the casting choices.
Yep.
Some just basically because of they just want to hate it.
Yeah. Especially, like, you know, nobody likes... I know some people that, like, hardcore don't like anything beyond the original trilogy, like 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, there are some fans that are still kind of pissed that they didn't just follow the novels that came after the original 6.
Yeah.
So basically, they made those all non-canon.
Oh, that sucks. You invest so much.
the novels are yeah, Mara Jade and everyone. I mean, it's not like they're dead or they're never gonna use it. They never implied that.
But it's not canon anymore.
It's just that what happens there chronologically is no longer canon. That doesn't mean they're not gonna try and look back on these characters, as we've seen from different, for example, Mandalorian. They look back at some characters. Mm. Even Solo looked back at Darth Maul.
Of course, so. Everybody. Not actually. Darth Maul's also pretty polarizing when he came out.
So yeah, he's part of that prequel that not a lot of people like.
Yeah, I love Phantom Menace.
I love Darth Maul as a character.
Me too.
He's one of the best things. Ray Park is one of the best things that came out.
And I love the one of the best things that ever came out in Phantom Menace. One of the few things that they got right or they did cool was the fight choreography. The last fight. I really like the fight choreography.
The fight choreography was definitely the best among from the prequels.
Yeah.
It's even better than the new trilogy.
Yeah. I would think so. Yeah. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of shouting in the new trilogy.
A lot of flip-flopping.
Maybe flip-flopping.
Changing sides. Like, you know, the bordering changing sides.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of confusing. Like, you know, who's, like... Who's trying to be good? Is he bad?
They're both trying to reel each other.
Yeah.
Like, Rey and... And Kylo Ren was
Adam Driver.
Yeah,
I watched his movie. Did you watch his Netflix movie?
No, I didn't.
What's the name of that movie? Shit, Wedding Story.
Nope.
Wedding Story is a story about a couple that is undergoing through a divorce. Modern time divorce is very kind of. I feel like it's very accurate to what couples will go through if they go through a divorce. Very cool. But yeah, Scarlett Johansson is the wife. You should watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. I watched the Mindbreakers.
Mindhunters is nice.
I watched it a little bit, 3 episodes in. I'm not as hooked as I thought I would be, though.
I guess. I mean, it's slow.
It's a little slow, yeah.
Yeah. It's slow. It takes some time for you to invest on it.
Yeah.
But it's definitely an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Like how they're talking to these psychopaths.
Yeah, because it's the setting is like in the 1970s before psychology was used in investigations of psychopathic killers. And yeah, the police didn't really believe that psychology could be of use to them.
Yeah,
kind of pushing it off to the side.
Yeah, because everyone just thought that they were born that way.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I got from the show, too. So a lot of people that just think crazy is crazy, right?
Yeah, you were born crazy, then you're definitely crazy.
Yes. But science.
Science.
Especially you, because your fiancé is
yeah, clinical psych. Yeah. She loved it. She loves that series.
I know. So, moving on. Is this really the next topic? Scoops.
Scoops. Movie and series scoops.
All right. So, Scrawn put in like a text wall here. So, I'm going to read it for you guys.
Yeah. These are actually an excerpt from Mikey Sutton. He's one of the best sources I have for anything movie, geeky related movies.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. I will vouch for what he says. He's a great guy. For those, his scoops are almost always picked up by news sites.
All right. Well, this is a scoop from him. The Mandalorian star is truly beginning to soar. According to several inside sources I spoke to, the Mandalorian himself, Pedro Pascal, is on the list of actors being considered to play Moon Knight for the MCU. Moon Knight. Not really, you know. Household name.
Yeah, it's not a household name, but Marvel has never really cared about household names. They've given birth to Guardians of the Galaxy, which is a very niche.
Yeah.
Very new team as well. While Guardians of the Galaxy has been around for a while, the team that they used was only given birth through like 2008.
Okay.
So it's a relatively new team. And there's also, while not Marvel Studios, there's also Big Hero 6, which is a very was a very niche group led by Sunfire.
Sunfire?
X-Men. Oh. Well, basically they were prodigies of Sunfire.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, Moon Knight. What is Moon Knight? He gets his... He's like medieval Batman.
He's not exactly medieval. I mean, he got his powers from the Egyptian tome.
Yeah. Well, he actually has powers.
That's very loose.
So he's a superhero. Batman ain't no superhero, bro.
So, well, he's still... He has multiple personality disorder.
Yes.
So there's multiple personalities that he tries to cope with. And, he's one of those ground heroes. They're called urban heroes, kind of like on the same fence as Defenders.
Okay.
When they're mostly limited to groundwork.
Wait, this is exactly what I was thinking too. Like, is he gonna play like a saving the world kind of a superhero? They could, if they decide to like buff him.
They could. It's not that they don't really have to buff him in the MCU, since they've practically nerfed everyone. Scarlet Witch is not really Chaos powers.
You think anybody could touch Thanos when he had the gauntlet? Because that's what happened in the movies. They could actually still touch him.
Captain Marvel could a little bit. It's just that they made the snap OP. You just have to think of someone and you can just snap them off. So it was pretty OP in the sense that they can't really use the same gauntlet with the stones again, ever.
Yeah. Is that a nerf?
Not really. I mean, it's feel like it's a really big buff that you can just snap everyone off.
Yeah. But like Thanos himself, he was doesn't he have that telekinetic powers? I'm sure he has some sort of telekinetic
powers. It's like beam sort of powers. So basically energy powers.
Yeah.
Because he in the comics, he used to be one of Galactus.
Herald,
yeah. So it's not... He is actually strong by nature. But I don't think they'll tackle that in the MCU.
Yeah.
They will definitely tackle Galactus at some point, since they got the rights.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, from Fox.
Ooh, hoo, hoo. Sexy boy. Time for everybody.
Yeah, that's why they're hyping up X-Men again. That's why the X-Men comics came back. There used to be no X-Men in Fantastic Four comics for the longest time.
Yeah.
Since they didn't really benefit from...
They killed off Iron Man, though. So it's going to be Franklin... Oh, no, it's Reed Richards, Professor X. Who else is in the Illuminati? Forget
Black Panther
too.
Yeah, and then there's
smart people. I forget which people.
Savior, are. Oh, Savior, you already counted four. Yeah, oh, it skips my mind.
Forget
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, that's right. Oh my God, how can we forget Doctor Strange? Oh my God, you think there's any chance at all they introduce Sentry? I've been waiting for that boy, man.
It's likely they might, but I feel like they... Because Sentry's basically
like Superman
with no moral high ground.
Yeah, he's neutral.
Yeah, he's chaotic neutral. I think I'd label him as a chaotic neutral. But I feel like they have more avenue to tackle Squadron Supreme first.
Okay.
So, rather than Sentry, Squadron Supreme is basically another world or universe. They're kind of like Justice League.
Okay.
So, it's easier, I think, to tackle that. But it's definitely really like Justice League. So, I'm not sure how high it is on their priority.
Yeah. You have to... You obviously have to appeal to the audience. But what audience are you appealing to? Like, the mass? Because at this point, I think they can take anything.
They have a lot of stuff that they can... take on. They tried doing Inhumans, it didn't really click because they tried it on a new format, which is like a sort of series movie slash
thing. Yeah,
I think it was way ahead of its Prime that time because it's Netflix was starting to boom. So, but I feel like if they executed Inhumans today at this the current climate, then it would have done way better.
It's also because everybody's still looking for the movies, right?
Yeah.
Right now, they essentially closed off the arc so that people are clamoring for more.
And people have embraced series more. You have, like, The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And had highly accepted the Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix series as well.
Well, all right. So, how about more Marvel news? Could you read this?
So yeah, they've been teasing it a lot of over the years. Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds, they've been talking about it for so much on social media, teasing each other, like who gets to appear in whose movie. Obviously, Ryan Reynolds has appeared on Wolverine's movie,
Logan,
as a mute Deadpool, which everybody hate. Basically, it was Baraka. So. Now that X-Men is back on Marvel's plate, so their sources have said from Mikey's side that they've been offering Hugh Jackman truckload of money to do Deadpool 3, like a buddy cop type of movie, which is, I think, will be interesting.
Yeah.
I think it really would sell. That's why, Hugh Jackman, while he has hanged the cowl and retired as Wolverine, he did say that he is willing to go back if it is under the MCU banner.
So if it is Deadpool under MCU?
Yes, and they have stated it that it will remain R-18 and Disney will not, you know, touch it.
Will not nerf it.
It will not Disney-fy it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is great, right? Because even in the comics, Deadpool and... freaking Wolverine are a thing.
Yeah, they're a thing.
They have the same power.
One of the my favorite series between them is with Captain America.
Okay.
It's The Good, The Bad, The Ugly.
Okay.
So the good being Captain America, the bad being Wolverine, and the ugly being Deadpool. So they're trying to stop a sort of like a Weapon X. Because basically, the Super Soldier Serum is sort of like Weapon 1.
Yes, exactly, right? Then they just kept developing it.
And then it turned into Weapon X, and Deadpool's basically like Weapon X-2.
Yeah. But his healing factor is way faster, way stronger.
Stronger. So, it was a really good, fun series, like, turn your brain off with a lot of banter.
Yeah.
And obviously, they can't do that in MCU with I think they can, actually, because at that series, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly, Captain America was old already. He didn't have his super soldier serum.
Oh.
So they can actually tackle it. It's just that I don't know how good it would look on the big screen or even live, just live action, because, I mean, in comics, you can turn yourself off with an old man beating up, like, even Hydra goons and stuff.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really fly as well.
In movies.
In live action and movies.
Yeah.
Like you can't really turn your brain off. Like, why is this old man still fighting?
Maybe it's you can't take it seriously, but like if you attack it with like humor, it would be
pretty okay.
But yeah, so movie together with Deadpool and Wolverine. I'm hyped. I know you're hyped. I think it would work for sure. Because it's like, you know, one is like the serious guy and then there's Deadpool on the other side.
And they have a reason to do it as well. It's not something they can just make up, because in the last Deadpool movie he had time travel. Basically not just time travel, he jumped dimensions.
Yeah.
He went to the dimension where he killed that old mute Deadpool.
Wait,
he also killed Green Lantern.
Where is What was the last Deadpool movie?
Deadpool 2. Which with Cable. Was?
Crap, I don't remember seeing it.
What?
Crap.
With Cable.
I don't remember seeing it.
This podcast is done.
I don't remember seeing it. Oh my god, I have to rewatch.
So right. Yeah, so he had access to sort of Cable's time travel, which then kind of became like a dimension travel, because he went to the Wolverine universe. He killed Baraka, Deadpool. He killed off Green Lantern as well.
How did they get the rights?
I mean, it was implied.
Okay.
It was implied that he killed Green Lantern.
Okay. Okay. So I'll definitely get to rewatch again.
So next up, what do we have next on our plate? So we have, from the success of Mandalorian comes another Mandalorian, but this time with the name. Pretty sure fans of the Rebels series are familiar with this. Sabine Wren.
So who, explain to me, who doesn't know anything about
Star Wars. I'm not that familiar universe. As well with the Rebels, the universe.
Yeah.
But all I know, she is a Mandalorian, and she's one of the most loved characters.
Oh, really?
From that universe.
Okay. So I actually haven't seen Mandalorian yet, because we don't have Disney Plus yet.
Yeah, there's no Disney Plus in Southeast Asia yet. Yes,
but I really want to, man. I'm more inclined to get Disney Plus than Netflix, honestly. Just because, like, imagine what you're getting from Disney. You're getting all the Disney movies. You're getting Marvel.
And
Star Wars.
The Daredevils and the other stuff.
Yeah.
Soon after their Netflix contracts expire.
That's just, like, cherry on top, though. Like, everything else, the base is, like, the Disney movies, the Disney series. I can watch Hannah Montana, bro. Oh, my God. I didn't even think of Hannah Montana. You're laughing, but it kind of, that show's kind of baller sometimes.
But not much I can really chime in on the Mandalorian.
Yeah. Maybe we should watch it on some illegal sites.
I'm pretty hyped just seeing the Baby Yoda gifts.
Yeah. That's about the extent of my knowledge of the Mandalorian.
Baby Yoda's been replaced by The Witcher already.
Oh, The as Witcher. Top, yeah, have you watched The Witcher yet?
I haven't. I want to, but I haven't. It's only, I think, 8 episodes.
Yeah.
My whole problem is next season is still due 2021. So do I want to subject myself to such torture?
So, like, let's say you have 365 days. Let's do a calculator on this thing. Okay, let's do it on Google. Calculator. So, Ron, you want to space out 8 episodes over 356 days divided by 8. So you can watch one episode per 45 days. 1.25 months.
Not gonna do
it. Just do it, dude. I know.
Since I'm not gonna do that.
You don't want to watch it all in one go and have, like, the hangover.
That's even more torture.
Why?
One episode per 45 days.
Just think of it like Sherlock. Do you watch Sherlock?
No, that's why I do not subject myself to that torture.
You should watch Sherlock, though. It's very interesting. So Mandalorian coming out next one. There is plans for it. No details yet. All right, peripherals. Speaking of peripherals, Rod, I bought a 144Hz monitor. There's no going back.
Yeah, there's no going back. I mean, Steez tried 240Hz and he's basically sold his 144Hz to get one.
How much are 240Hz? Let's see. 240Hz monitor price.
500 USD.
How much is it? 549 USD.
Yeah, 500 USD.
Crap. 25,000,
30,000? Give it 3 years before it stabilizes and you get better stuff.
Yeah, I'm not getting 240. I'm not moving on for my monitor anytime soon, unless it breaks.
So for that, going back to our peripheral, the Glorious D.
Yes.
The Glorious Model D.
Glorious D. Will launch. I have a Glorious D.
So it will basically launch January 14th, and the Model D stock. Then there's the ones who reserve will be emailed by January 6th.
See, I have a problem with, like, mice, peripherals with mice. Like, how much better can you make a mouse?
It's normally people are picky with weight.
With weight. I get that. I get that with weight. Yeah. Because, like, this mouse that we have in the studio is so heavy. Thanks, Black and Blue, for the mouse, by the way. I know this is an expensive mouse. It's the G502 with the unlimited scrolling potential. But yeah, how much better can you make mice, and why is this such a big deal anyway?
You know what? The deal that I can't seem to wrap my head around too is the honeycomb.
Honeycomb.
There's a honeycomb design. It's all the rave right now.
What do you mean honeycomb design? What is that? Is this like air vents?
That's what I don't get. I don't quite get. There's so many mices that are coming out with honeycomb design.
I know one of the first ones was Rokat. You know, with the modular parts and all, they had like holes. I
mean, these are not modular. They're just ambidextrous mice, and they have honeycomb designs.
Yeah,
I mean, Thermaltake, I think, came out with it.
It looks cool. There's RGB.
I haven't tried it. I mean,
maybe this is just the boomer in us talking. There's an RGB strip.
I get RGB strip. It's basically a requirement now for every peripheral.
Yeah, if you're a gaming brand and you don't have anything RGB, you're not a gaming brand.
Even Ducky yielded to the RGB.
It's okay. It's okay with Ducky, man. My office mate has a mechanical keyboard that lights up like the bottom part. It's so nice, though.
Yeah. I don't know. We'd have to try it. Glorious, send us something to time.
Yes, Glorious, please send us this and we will talk about your mice in a positive fashion.
That's about it for the pre-orders. I mean, there's not much pre-orders and there's not much we can talk about for the other products that are launched, so we don't have them in hand.
So like, let us talk about it, man.
Yeah, hopefully when the show wraps up, we'd have a tech review show.
Yes, I don't mind that. I'd do a tech channel. Look at this. It's a white version. This is a crap version. Glossy black.
Yeah, we're looking at the glorious PCGamingRace.com site for what they have in stock.
That's $50, though.
Not bad.
That's okay. I actually want this. I want the mouse bungee. Because I have problems with, like, you know, the cable.
Most monitors have a bungee. You know, if you get, like, a...
But it's not like this one.
Fine.
I want it. All right. So Ron is a toy nut, and he gave me some toys to look at. So
hey, it's a nerd stuff.
Yes.
Might as well. Toys are nerdy stuff. So we have, while I don't collect it, we have Flame Toys Spurai Model 01. I think the IDW version is out on pre-order at Big Bad Toy Store.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, not much to say. It looks comic accurate, IDW being the comics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very comic accurate. I like it. I like the design. It's just not transformable, though.
That is a big deal for me.
For a Transformer?
Yes. If you're a Transformer toy and you cost more than like $50, you should be able to transform.
There is a... You've seen my Transformers, right?
I think so. Some of them.
MAS. Hmm. MAS-01. It's big. It's huge.
Ah, yeah. I did see it.
Yeah, MAS-01. There's an even bigger one of that that came out a few months ago.
Yes.
It's the Lewin-01, and it's transformable.
See, that's baller. But this one with the steady thing, I don't like it.
It's a comic book. There's not much you can... It's hard to make it transformable and comic book accurate.
If you can get, like... If the details are really nice, though, and I'm a big nerd, I would probably see the appeal.
Yeah.
Alright. DC Rebirth, DC Multiverse Nightwing action figure.
Well, not just Nightwing, it's the whole assortment from the DC Rebirth build up Batmobile.
Oh.
So McFarlane Toys, this is by McFarlane Toys. They've gotten into the build a figure scheme of things. They have better articulated stuff now. I haven't personally...
Is this part of it?
Own one? Yeah, it's McFarlane Toys. That is the Batman Who Laughs. It's a great series, by the way, for those who want to read it. It's basically evil Batman.
It's like Joker Batman.
Not evil Batman. How do I explain it without spoiling stuff? I don't want to spoil anything, so just read it. Batman Who Laughs. It's a great series.
This one's pretty cool too. Batgirl.
Very cool. The lineup consists of some Batman Who Laughs, Batgirl, Batman animated series. That's about.
Oh, here we go. Click here.
That's about it. So in stores, most likely within this month, January 2020.
Dude, okay. Batman, Detective Superman, Batgirl, Art of Crime, Batgirl, Art of Crime, Nightwing, and then Batman Who Laughs. Batman, oh, that's pretty cool. I love that.
Batman animated series.
Yeah. And Superman animated series. This is kind of cool. I like that Batman one.
Yeah, I mean, it's baller. The Tim Burton style.
Yes. Harley Quinn as well, Green Arrow, Superman Unchained Armor, Hellbatsu. I know you like that.
I mean, it's okay, but I have this basic rule because I'm trying to save money.
Yes.
So I have this basic rule I've saved up that I only have get one character
okay.
at a time. Like, I don't do duplicates, so meaning I only have like one Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
The Iron Mans have become tricky because it's like suits.
Yeah.
So sans Iron Man, so like I only have one iteration of a character.
Each. Okay, so you already have a Batman.
Yeah, I already have a Batman. I have the...
Can you show me that you're Batman?
I have the... You want to see my Batman?
Yes, I want to see it. Please unzip your Batman.
So I have the Yamaguchi Batman there.
Yamaguchi Batman.
It's a hit or miss Batman. I personally like it. Some people don't like it because the cape is heavy.
What do you mean? This looks cool. Yeah, I've seen your Batman. I've seen this.
Some people don't like it because the cape is finicky.
And you can articulate it like this.
True, I like it. It's just that it's sometimes tiring to play with because of how you have to keep moving the cape.
I mean, it's pretty worth it if you can get it like this where he spread out his wings. That is so worth.
Some people have replaced the cape with cloth, wired cloth, because I personally have started to lean on wired cloth as capes.
Okay.
They're great, especially they're flexible and they look neat.
Yes.
So I might do a mod sometime in the future for my Batman.
Does he come in with the grappling hook gun? Awesome.
That's
sick.
The thing about Yamaguchi stuff, they're pretty stocked in accessories.
Yeah, this is really sick.
Yeah, and they're also their whole appeal is basically superposable.
Yes. Yamaguchi.
Yeah, the amazing Yamaguchi line.
Very cool. All right, so from one of Ron's favorite franchises to his favorite franchise, Kamen Rider.
So yeah, it's up for pre-order in Japan, but there's a Singapore has their own premium Bandai, so you can pre-order it from there for 90 SGD.
So it's the Kamen Rider SH Figure Arts Kamen Rider Jin Flying Falcon exclusive.
Yeah, it's a P Bandai exclusive. So if you're gonna get it from the likes of Ami Ami, Big Bad Toy Store, and all those sorts of other retailers, then it's gonna be higher in price than the SRP.
Because it's exclusive.
Yeah, but
exclusive.
If you're in Singapore, you can get it for 90 since they have a P Bandai.
Dude, you know who lives in Singapore that we know? A couple of people.
Yeah, sad.
Dude, we could just ask them to buy for you, man, and just pick it up when we go there.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to make an account before in Singapore, but they're like, ask for a Singapore address, so I don't know how to. I had to ask Sed for a favor for that.
Did you actually ask him to buy it? Oh, come on, man.
I don't know because I'm going there over in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. So for this one, this is from the 01 series. Mm-hmm. So for those that haven't watched it, it's the first series for the Reiwa era in Japan. Since they've changed eras now, they've changed emperors.
Yes.
So by tradition or by their culture, they also change eras. So now it's Reiwa era. Mm-hmm. So this is the first one.
And like at the end of the last era, then they have like a big thing too?
Yeah. Kamen Rider always does like some like Avengers mashup.
Yeah.
Every
Kamen Rider.
Every series, every Kamen Rider series, where they combine everyone
mm-hmm.
and have it. But the main focus, of course, is the current running series.
Mm-hmm.
So for that one, it and the theme last time was time, since they were trying to gather all the Kamen Riders and everyone. So even the series itself had a lot of cameos and guest appearances from former riders from the Heisei era.
Yes.
So the last series of the Heisei era was a real treat and eye candy.
Mm-hmm. If you had to guess, how many Kamen Riders were there?
I don't know, man.
Let's count main guy.
Yeah, if you count just the main.
Yeah.
You have Showa. How many in Showa are there? It started with Ichigo, then ended with Black.
Like, well, 20 plus?
For Showa alone?
Yeah.
I'm guessing, yeah, 20.
20 to 30, that is
so
the range.
I'm guessing like 60 something?
60 all in all?
All in all.
Oh, shit.
And that doesn't count the side characters.
Right. So 60 suits, huh?
Yeah. I think it would be 60 suits.
That's crazy. And now they just started with this, so...
Yeah, he's not the main... Jin is not the main protagonist. So it's actually... 01 is actually very refreshing, because what they did with 01 is there's actually a legit Kamen Rider that's a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did that before, but normally it doesn't come out until like episode halfway through the series.
So they started with the girl.
Yeah, it didn't start immediately. There's a girl Kamen Rider, but she definitely has more roles to play. Like, she's more badass.
Mm. 2020, by the way, women empowerment.
So yeah, Jin, and then Jin is one of the side characters, I believe he is. I haven't watched the full series. I'm trying to stockpile it and binge watch it.
Of course, that sounds like you.
So he is an anti-villain. Well, currently, I don't know if he's become a villain or anti-villain, but somewhere along those lines. So yeah, that's about it. 01, great series, guys. Watch it as well.
Right, just to describe it, it's a pink armor with like steel accents, like green eyes. Okay, I wonder. I don't know if you'll get that. Henshin.
That doesn't really say much.
I said that with the most American Western accent ever. Henshin. It's so bad.
Better. I mean, in Sentai they have the morphing.
What do you mean morphing?
For Power Rangers. It's morphing time.
Oh, yes. Of course. I really am not into the
Sentai?
Super Sentai. Like, I would probably be into this more than Power Rangers. That's for sure.
Yeah, I do like Kamen Rider better than the Sentai series.
But I
or
do
the Tokusatsus.
I know one of my college classmates has followed every single Power Rangers. Just crazy to me.
They're fun. There's a turn your brain off type of series. Yeah. I mean, Kamen Rider is sort of like that too. It's
there are some that are very
They're very hovering to kids, except for the Amazon exclusive one that was very bloody.
Yes.
The Kamen Rider Amazon, which was a remake of the original Kamen Rider Amazon from Showa era,
which is catered to people like you.
So yeah, it's more bloody and gruesome.
Yeah. All right. So that I think that's it for the podcast. We talked about a bunch of things. So thank you so much. This will be posted over on Spotify. We'll be posted on our page, which will be linked to our Spotify.
Well, it will be not posted on like Breaker or
what's a what?
It created an account.
What do you mean
for us?
What's the thing called?
Breaker?
What's a Breaker?
It's on our email. I'll refresh it to you.
Well, we'll just send it over there. Okay,
yeah.
We'll just read it.
We'll just
decide.
Well, that was a great pilot.
That was a great pilot. Thank you guys so much. Follow us over on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/csport. Also on our Twitter, twitter.com/csport. On our Twitch as well, where our, like broadcasts are usually going to be. It's at twitch.com/csport.
Our youtube.com/gibberish.
Yes.
Because we don't really have enough subscribers to... The change. We really need to invest on YouTube.
If you guys would like a video format for this, we are happy to oblige. But we're not going to do it if it's just like three people. So we need support.
So yeah. Thanks guys for watching Nerd Stuff, the pilot episodes.
Index has been here as well as Scrawn.
So I think that's it for us. And happy new year to everyone.
Happy New Year's. We should have led off with that. Thank you so much. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.